school year in our School of Kingdom Purpose.
So the previous semester, I prayed about coming to the school, and God just told me to wait. So I was like, okay. So this semester, I prayed and asked God if I could do this time and if he'll provide for me if it's a yes. So I just left it at that. And then 3 weeks later, not even 3 weeks, I came to service, and somebody in service came up to me not knowing any of my situation to say the Holy Spirit told him to pay for me for the whole entire year. So God's so good.
Isn't that incredible? So if you guys are wanting to come to the school, you know, you've heard us say the testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy. So what he's done for Zindri, he wants to do for you. What he's done for her, he can do for you. So if you're feeling a tug in your heart to come to the school, then just believe by faith that God will make a way. I also want to release another testimony. There was a word that was given from stage a couple Wednesday nights ago, and the word was God was going to provide for somebody financially within that week. I don't know if you guys remember. And within 1 week's time, someone in the church came up to us and told us they got a $40,000 check in the mail. Come on! A $40,000 check in the mail. This person was expecting about $6,000 or $8,000, and God, how many of you guys know God always does exceedingly, abundantly, more than all we could ask or think? So if you guys are in a place where you're in a financial bind and you're trusting him, you know, to how are you going to pay the bills next month, say, God, what I can give you is my faith, and watch him provide, all right? $40,000, guys, come on. We're not talking 40 bucks. So, okay. So you saw the slide and the video for our school. Joel and I think a few of our interns are going to be out at the booth after service. If you guys would like to ask them any questions about this upcoming school year, the deadline is coming up here in just about 6 weeks, August 23rd. So we really look forward to having you out with us. And then I have something special I want to do very, very quick. But my mama is here from California. Let's give her a big round of applause. This is the woman who gave birth to me and put up with me during all my drug and wild years. So my dad's watching online too. Hi, Dad. And if we could just real quick on the count of three, say happy birthday to her. Today she turns 77. So let's do that. One, two, three. Happy birthday. All right. I figured we'd sing, but that could get awkward, so we'll just say happy birthday. All right. All right, you guys ready? You ready to get into the Word? I know I am, too. I'm very excited. We're going to kind of, as one of my favorite pastors say, hopscotch through some scripture tonight. But if you want to know where we're going to land, it's in Ephesians 4. So if you've got your Bibles with you, we're going to go ahead and get started. What's been on my heart for like the last, I don't know, handful of months or more, is us getting into the Word. So we can be so content coming to church every Wednesday, every Sunday, feeding ourselves on Pastor Mike's revelation, Pastor Bob's revelation, someone else's revelation, but we're not hungry for our own. The Holy Spirit lives in us. And he wants to give each and every one of us revelation. And so I really feel like he wants to challenge us. How hungry are you? How hungry are you? If I was up here eating Parmesan mashed potatoes, which, by the way, I love, you might be watching me eat and watching me partake of one of my favorite foods, but you wouldn't be tasting for yourself. And you guys have heard the word say, taste and see that the Lord is good. And if you don't taste of him in the word, your walk with him, that experience with him, will never be your own. You see, everything that you need to survive in life is right here. I promise you. The question is, how victorious do we want to be? So God paid it all on the cross, right? God paid it all. Jesus paid it all. He gave it all. But yet we're content living short of everything that he purchased for us. Do you ever wonder why that is? sometimes it's because we don't even know what the promises are. So as many of you guys know, I have a huge passion for people to make their gospel, make their walk with Jesus their own. All right? You've heard me say, you got to work out your own salvation. I can't do that for you. And you know what? I don't want to. And oh, by the way, the Holy Spirit wants to walk it out with you. Jesus says, hey, I'm leaving, but I'm going to give you someone who's going to help you walk this life so beautifully. It might not be easy, but it's going to be so rich. And if you trust me and you take my hand, the way that you live your life can sow into eternity. What are you living for? Not why are you alive. What are we living for? So I encourage our students, look, don't take everything that I say as the gospel truth. Please don't. All right? When I think about sermons, you know, I'm kind of like Pastor Tyler, you know, in the shower, preaching to the shower curtain. You remember when he said that several weeks ago? If God allowed me to preach some of those messages that I had 10 years ago, oh my Lord, and I would hope they weren't recorded, right? So thank God for grace. Thank God for grace. But I want you guys to be like the Bereans in Acts chapter 17, I think it was. It says in the Bible, in Acts, that they searched out the scriptures daily to see whether what Paul and Silas and his companions said were true. Well, okay, Pastor said it, Pastor Marla said it, but I'm going to search it out for myself. That's what God wants you to do. First John says, you don't even need anyone to teach you because his anointing, the Holy Spirit, teaches you all things. Now, does that mean we don't need teachers? No. Am I advocating rebellion in the church? No. Because we also know in Ephesians that God gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints to build us up in maturity, right? But there comes a point in your walk where you can actually listen to anybody. Think of your favorite speaker who walks with the greatest anointing. And Holy Spirit might be telling you something different, something personal, something customized for you, okay? So my heart is to birth a passion in people to get to know God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. All right, so we're going to get into the Word here in a minute. I'm kind of leading up to this, all right? But one of my favorite things to do in school is lead our students on an encounter. Oh my gosh, what's an encounter? Well, an encounter, basically what we do is we put on soaking music. I read through some scriptures and set some biblical precedent for encounters with God and the Spirit, and then we do it. And the beautiful thing is when you set yourself up for an expectation for an encounter with God, kind of like Pastor Derek was saying, he shows up. I've had encounters with God in the throne room. I can't really see him, but I know he's on the throne. And the feeling is just euphoric. It's just amazing. It's so light. It feels so free. I've had encounters with Jesus that have totally wrecked my concept of a mad God or angry God. Okay, this might trip some of you out. But when I was at Bethel, I really had to get a new concept of God. The way that I saw him was an angry dad waiting to strike me with a lightning bolt. And Jesus shows up on the scene during this encounter in rainbow moon boots, blue jeans, and a red t-shirt, doing some like interpretive dance thing. And I just start laughing. I'm like, is this, Jesus, is this legal? I don't know. This doesn't seem right. But you're Jesus. And I laughed for 45 minutes. Can you find that in the Bible? No. But hey, it's my experience. And as C.S. Lewis says, a man with an experience is never at the mercy of a man with an argument. Yeah. I've had encounters with the Holy Spirit that have been so incredible. I remember I was standing up against the wall during a worship time, and Holy Spirit would come and like almost like, I don't know, go through me or in me and then leap off me. Like he was playing tag and then come back on me and then jump off me. And it was like this warm honey experience where I just wanted to melt into the wall. So that when we sing songs, we're not singing about him. When we have encounters with him, we're singing to him. Because he's a person. He's not an entity or a title or a scripture or a hashtag. He's my best friend. He's provider. He's the one that I can do all things through. Did you know you have an appointment? The God of the universe, the one who holds everything together by his word, wants to meet with you. He wants you to pour some coffee tomorrow morning, if you like coffee, maybe tea, a cuppa, as they say in, in Europe, and open your Bible and meet him. You have a date with Jesus. So, there's many ways that we can spend time with him. So I'm going to get a little bit of traction here into getting into the word. And then I want to share with you kind of like the heart of what I feel like he's putting in this message. Okay, how many of you guys know these are crazy times that we're living in? You'd really have to be living in a cave or have your head in the ground if you didn't know things were pretty darn wild in the world we live in now, right? We don't have to freak out. We don't have to worry. It says in Hebrews that we have this hope like an anchor for our soul. That's Jesus. But the thing is, so many of us profess to follow Jesus. So many of us profess to be believers in Christ. We might say, hey, do you believe in Jesus? Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. Do you have a relationship with Jesus? Do you love Jesus? Oh my gosh, I love Jesus. Do you read your Bible? No. But here the thing is it says in John chapter 1 that in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. It says in 1 John chapter 1 that he's the Word. So in order for us to really get to know the Savior of our soul, the one who purchased everything for us on the cross, we have to get to know him in the word. The problem is there's absolutely no way to fully get to know him without getting into your Bible. You can learn about him from preachers, like I've said earlier. We can sing songs about him. We can get glimpses of him through quotes, but we can't develop that one-on-one relationship unless we find out about him. Okay, now let me just tell you right off the bat, getting into your word ain't easy, all right? If it was easy, we'd all do it, right? If it was easy, we'd all be in our word. Obviously, we have an enemy who wants nothing more than to keep us out of the Bible. And oh, by the way, he knows scripture back and forth. I'm probably getting way ahead in my sermon because I think I have this towards the end. That's why we need the Holy Spirit to speak the rhema word to us. Yeah. Okay, so for me, years ago, I've been a Christian my whole life, all right? And then I got wild and crazy and rebelled from about 17 to 24. And I remember I was working in the business world at the time, right before I got pregnant with our son. And I went out on my lunch break in my car, and I said, look, Jesus, oh, Jesus, Lord, God, your word is boring, and I don't even want to get into your word. When I start to read the Bible, I fall asleep. I get drowsy. I don't even know what half these words mean. And so-and-so begets so-and-so begets so. I mean, really? Couldn't we have been more creative? You know? And I said, but I know it's important to you that I get in the word. So God, I want you to give me a hunger. You know, nothing that we have is from ourselves. Everything that we have is from him. He chose us. We didn't choose him. That's why none of the religions in the world could ever get you to God. They're all based in humanism. They're all based in self. They're all based in pride. God chose us. So I want to tell you, there's grace. If you don't even know how to get into the word, ask him. It says in Matthew chapter 5, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. So if you tell God, look, I want to get in your word. It's boring as all get out. I have no idea what it means, but I trust you. God, I pray that you give me the hunger to get into your word. And I promise you guys, I'm living proof he will. Okay, some of you might be like, there are so many translations out there. That book is so big. I don't even know where to start. And I would encourage you guys, you know, we've heard the prayer, give us this day our daily bread. How do you guys eat a loaf of bread? One bite at a time. One bite at a time. I would encourage you just very practically. I don't know where each one of you guys are in your study of the word, but if it seems too daunting, get in the Gospels, get in the New Testament, get into Psalms and Proverbs. Those are real easy. I would caution you to embark on a love relationship with Jesus and with God the Father before you really get into the Old Testament. And here's the reason why. Did Pastor Marla say don't read Genesis? I think Pastor Marla said don't get in Deuteronomy. I don't know. No, you know. What I'm telling you is if we believe God is just waiting to punish us and God is an angry God, that's all we'll see in this book. And you know what? This book is a love letter. This book is a love letter from God to humanity. It says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave the word. But if we don't know who we are and we don't know who he is, sometimes this is going to look a little skewed. So just a little bit of practical caution for you guys. If you want to go for it, knock yourself out. Okay, am I advocating not reading your word? No. And it was amazing. When I was at Bethel, I was in a class of 800 or 900 people. And they asked everybody, raise your hand in this room of 800 or 900 people at Bethel, who's read the Bible cover to cover, Genesis to Revelation? There was only a handful of us. A handful of us who've read the word cover to cover. Okay, sometimes I read through an entire chapter. Sometimes I can go through a book. Sometimes I camp out on a verse for a long, long time, hours and hours. I'm just throwing out some practical tips until I get to the heart of the message here. You don't have to read this book alone. I would encourage you not to read it alone. Invite the Holy Spirit into the process. All right, so like I said earlier, the Holy Spirit will guide you through this book. And he'll highlight to you. Read it until he highlights something that jumps out at you. And then ask him about it. God loves your questions. He's not afraid of them. So really, the only way to navigate this world is through the word and with the Spirit. And an analogy is if you were to work out one arm, you know, and you didn't work out this arm, this one's all buffed and this one's all weak, you know, look kind of funny. So we got to use the word and the Spirit to navigate through this life, all right? The Bible says there's a few other reasons why. And the first one that I want to cover, I'm going to go through these real quick, is we need to know the difference between truth and deceit. 1 Timothy 4:1 says, the Spirit clearly says it in the last days. How many of you know we're living in the last days? Some will abandon the faith and following deceiving spirits and the teachings of demons through the hypocrisy of liars whose consciences have been seared with a hot iron. And the only way to know if what someone is teaching is truth or not is to know the word. Another practical reason is a genuine mark of our faith can't be and isn't always supernatural miracle signs and wonders. So the Bible calls Satan himself, he can transform himself into an angel of light. It says in Revelation 13 that I saw a second beast coming out of earth. It had two horns like a lamb, but it sounded like a dragon. It performed great signs and astonishing miracles, even causing fire to come down from heaven in view of the people. And because of its signs, the people, the inhabitants of the earth, believed in what they saw. So even if I was to walk on water or raise someone from the dead, that even that isn't a true indication of, Jesus is doing something right now. Jesus is doing something right now. Come on, Lord. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thanks, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Father, I pray right now that every person in this room, really grabs onto what you have to say to them tonight. The truth in your word tonight, Lord, that it will penetrate our hearts. Any hard soil. And that the washing of the water of your word will soften our hearts tonight. Even speak to me, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We will never be God's answer to this world's problems till we get God's heart for the world's problems. And this is where I'm going to go with the word tonight. Let's go to Ephesians 4. We're going to start in verse 1. And I'm just going to skip through a few verses like I mentioned. We're going to go 1 to verse 7 and then 11 to 16. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Well, how do I do that? How do I live a life worthy of the calling? Be completely humble. Be gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called by one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all. But to each one of us, grace is given according to the measure of Christ's grace. You know, in this day and age, it's so easy to have an opinion, isn't it? It's so easy to get onto Facebook and spew every opinion we could have about every issue in the world today. But how many of you know that sometimes those opinions aren't really productive, are they? Yet we have no qualms about doing it. Hey guys, I'm guilty of this myself. As believers, God tells us how to live and conduct ourselves through the word. So this is really our handbook for living. The problem is that oftentimes we can care more about our opinions than about his. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says, in the last days, people will become lovers of themselves. Can anybody say selfie? Oh my gosh, last week or 2 weeks ago, I was like, my hair looks good, wow, my makeup looks good, my shirt looks good, and for like 5 minutes, I was out next to my sliding glass door trying to get like the right angle, and 5 minutes later, I'm like, people do this? Oh my gosh, like, I feel so weird, like nobody's watching, right? This is so odd, you know? And I was like, I got better things to do with my time, I can't do this. Hey, but there are some good angles, right? Better light, right? I remember reading that, right? You got a sunlit from behind and the whole deal. So are there good, healthy, and helpful opinions? Absolutely. Am I saying all opinions are bad? No, I'm not, Okay, so please hear my heart. But even Job's friends had good opinions. Job's friends had some really awesome things to say about God. But God said, who is this who obscures or confuses my plans with words without knowledge or discernment? So we can have words and we can have opinions, but they lack knowledge and discernment. So here's the thing, opinions can be really dangerous. They're often laden with judgment. They can blind us, and they can rob us from the revelation the Holy Spirit wants to give us through the Word. Because my Word says, look, I can have an opinion about a lot of things out there that I don't think is right, or make me really upset, or whatever the case may be. But my Bible says, I have to be completely humble. I have to be gentle. I have to be patient, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. That's what my Bible says. Oh, dang, Lord, I don't know. I don't know. You know what? Do you know what they wrote on my page when I said I was upset about this? How dare, they're my brother-in-law. Okay, anyway, moving on. Look, I'm guilty of this too, okay? Posting something on there, someone posts something snarky on my page. You know, a handful of years ago, I had it out with someone in private message, like, look, if you don't have anything nice to say on my wall, please don't. And the reality of it was, is that God broke my heart because the person who put that, the person who messaged me, they were a baby Christian, and I had an opportunity to tell them about my Jesus and my faith and what he's done in my life, and instead I cut them down and shut them up. No, God broke my heart, and to this day, that person doesn't talk to me. What kind of witness am I? Yeah, my opinion was right, maybe, in my eyes, but I cared more about my opinion than I did about relationship. And Jesus says the world will know that you're my disciples by your love, not by your opinions. Marla, if you're going to be up on a stage, you got to walk the talk. They're going to know you're my believers. They're going to know you're my followers, my disciples by your love. And the last time I checked, love turns the other cheek. You know what? Marla needs to be defended, but let me tell you something right now. God doesn't need to be defended. God doesn't need Marla to defend him. God needs to be represented. The degree to which our personal opinions are submitted to the Holy Spirit is the degree to which we can receive fresh revelation. Opinions can blind us from revelation. They can get in the way of the Holy Spirit speaking to us. So the common theme here is pride. I don't think. I don't know. I don't like that. Now, guys, hear my heart. I am not talking about there are some injustices in the world, okay? There are people who are very confused and living certain lifestyles. Hear my heart. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is if Pastor Marla gets on there and starts putting her opinion all over the place, I'm not really representing Jesus well. I'm not really loving well. Can you imagine if Jesus said to Mary Magdalene, look, well, I think you've got seven demons because, you know, you are a prostitute. So, you know, I mean, my opinion is that maybe you kind of brought this on yourself. Jesus laid down his right to his opinion so that he could heal people, save people, and deliver people. He moved with compassion for a world who needed compassion. This world doesn't need our opinions. This world needs our love. When the Bible says we're going from glory to glory, it's not an elevated position. Oh, I'm going to glory. I'm going to my next level of glory. We always forget the part that says being transformed into the image of Jesus. I'm going to my next level of glory so the world can be set free. But the world isn't going to be set free if I'm hanging on to my opinion because I'm pissed off. No, look it. This happened this week. And I'm just keeping it real, guys, okay? I don't know any other way to do it than keep it real. Because I'm a human being too. And I need grace too. And I need love too. And when somebody sees that Pastor Marla's having a bad day, my hope is that they don't get on Facebook and say, oh, you know what? That pastor, she this, she that. But they say, no. Why don't we give her the benefit of the doubt? Why don't we love her? Why don't we pray for her? Because you know what the word says? Pray for your leaders. Don't talk about your leaders. We don't know what our leaders have to go through. We don't know what our leaders have to face. It is so easy to judge. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. A good litmus test, a good measure of how much pride and ego is in Pastor Marla's opinions is how vehemently I protect it when it's challenged. Oh, I'm so mad, I can't believe it. Can you believe they said so-and-so, or, you know, said whatever? If you want to know how much you're moving in the Spirit, we can find out how much love is coming from our lives. The Bible says that God is always putting us on display in Christ. That's his heart. And that he's spreading our fragrance, the fragrance of Christ through us everywhere we go. But how many of you know sometimes I spread a stench? It ain't pretty. Am I saying don't talk to people you're in your community when you've been hurt and life isn't fair? No, that's not what I'm saying. The Bible says in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. Get with some people that you can vent to in a safe place till you're ready to decide how you want to communicate with so-and-so or whatever. Okay, so am I saying that, you know, don't get with community or don't voice your opinion? No, we all have to have a safe place. The Bible says be humble, gentle, and patient. So it's easier to be those three things, humble, gentle, and patient, when we're fully surrendered to him. In Romans chapter 1, there is just a list of things that God says are sin. And after that long old chapter, in verse 2, chapter 1, he says, don't judge. And the problem is sometimes we as Christians confuse or don't use wisdom about where we share our opinions of what's sin. You know, I just quoted to you John 3:16 a little bit ago. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. But a lot of times we don't read John 3:17. For God did not send Jesus to judge the world, to condemn the world, but he sent Jesus so that the world might be saved through him. Jesus didn't even come to judge. The Bible says, why are we so busy looking at the speck in our brother's eye when I got a big old 2x4 hanging out of mine? I think I'll end just with this, and there's a few things that I want to pray for. I've had some things on my heart over the last few days that I think the body at large is probably struggling with in some form or fashion. But I would encourage you that when you go to get into your word, this handbook for life that can help you navigate it all, if you're looking for direction in your life, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. He'll show you what path to take. It's all good. But I would encourage you to ask God to help you fall in love with the author. Ask God to help you fall in love with the person, the word. Because if we really want to make a difference in this world, we have to do it with a heart of love. I could stand on a street corner in San Francisco or Los Angeles quoting a bunch of scripture about how everybody's going to hell, but I'm not representing my Jesus. Jesus says, we got to love. You got to be humble. He says, you guys want to inherit? You want to inherit a lot of money, a lot of stuff? You want to inherit whatever? The Bible says the meek will inherit the earth. Meekness is not weakness. It's strength under control. God wants to transform you from the inside out. Will you let him? Oh, we ain't playing anymore. Things are crazy. And the only way to navigate this world is through the word and with the spirit. My mom's mom used to say, I want nothing between my soul and my Savior. I want nothing between my soul and my Savior. Do you remember that, Mom? Did you say Grandma Lena said that? It's a process. It ain't fun. Sometimes it feels like a vice. And you're like, I thought you loved me, Jesus. You're putting me in this thing and you're cranking it even more? But that is how you get the anointing. That is how you get authority. It's Christ in you, Marla being crushed, so Jesus can come out. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. I think I'll end with this. Song of Songs chapter 1. Somebody tell Pastor Marley to get some sticky notes. It'd be a lot easier. Hello. It says, your love is more delightful than wine. Pleasing is the fragrance of your perfume. Your name is like perfume poured out. Your name, Jesus, is like perfume poured out. God, it hurts. They don't understand me, Lord. People are getting promoted around me and you're holding me down. God, I just lost this lawsuit. God, my whole family turned against me. But I'm going to meet you in the garden. Because your love is better than wine. Your love is like perfume poured out, poured out, poured out, so that the pain of this world that I'm feeling right now fades away in the fragrance of your beauty. Fall in love with Jesus. Don't get in the Word to have a bunch of ammo to fire off at people. Fall in love with Jesus. Jesus, tell me, how hard was it when your family said, prophet, son of God, he's my brother. He built things with his hands. He was a carpenter. He made wood. He's no son of God. What did it look like when you turned the other cheek? Tell me. Jesus, I don't want to live anything less than all you have for me. Because your name is like perfume poured out. You make it so worth it. And you know what he says? Ah, Marla. Sam. Pastor Bill. Mihai. Christina. He says to you when you're hanging out with him, your name is like perfume poured out to me. When you spend time with me, the fragrance that comes from your life is intoxicating. It's better than the finest wine, the richest fragrance. That's you to me. That's what he says. And when you get transformed in his love, you can transform the world through love. This world needs you. This world needs to see Christ in you. It's Christ in you, the hope for glory. Oh, Jesus, 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 we love you. We love you. We love you so much. God, I pray that you impart to every person in this room a hunger to get to know you in the Word. And not just the parts that feel right. Not just the parts they agree with or I agree with. But every part of your Word. Every part of your Word, front to back. Invite us into the mystery of knowing the author and the finisher of our story. The one who paid it all. So that we could even have the grace and the strength to say, I might pay it all. I don't know, but this hurts right now, Jesus, but I might pay it all. Just help me, help me, help me. Oh, Jesus, that we wouldn't waste time. Yeah, and even for some of you right now, I really believe that some of you are really caught up in religious bondage. And I just want to break the shoulds off people. I just break the shoulds off people in Jesus' name. Freedom, 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 freedom in the Spirit. Freedom in the Spirit. Freedom in the Spirit. Grace like you have never. I see people doing backstrokes in water, in the Spirit. Freedom, freedom, freedom. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, that you would give us a hunger for your Word like we hunger for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Yeah. Dear in the olive-colored shirt back there, yep, you. The Lord says, it's a new day, it's a new day, it's a new day. Do not remember the former things. Behold, I'm doing something new. And he's giving you eyes to see. Okay? He's giving you eyes to see and a new hope in your heart. Yeah, a new hope in your heart. I see balloons and celebration over you. Family members coming to the Lord. Breakthrough, breakthrough, breakthrough in Jesus' name. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, so let's do this. I'm gonna, if we could have the prayer team come up. We'd like to pray with you and agree with you about just embarking on this journey, as daunting as it may be, of getting into the Word. Even if it's baby steps, guys, it's how it was for me, right? We all got to start somewhere. And specifically, so if you want us to agree with you to get in the Word and just believe with you that God is doing something new in your life in that area, please come down. The second thing, I've actually heard from three people now just this week who've had severe panic attacks. And I want to pray right now, but then I want you to come down as well, just for refreshing and so that we can pour back into you. But in Jesus' name, I take authority over the enemy in the realm of a spirit of intimidation, a spirit of fear, a spirit of anxiety, a spirit of worry. In Jesus' name, I bind you up and I say, you have to go, you have to go, you have to go. No more torment, no more torment in Jesus' name. And I just see God putting his hands over your ears so that those whispering lies of what ifs, oh, what if, it's all gonna crash in now. Just that you know, like the pile of bricks on your chest. Yeah, I just speak freedom in Jesus' name. Freedom in Jesus' name. No more, no more, no more. I declare an end and I command it to leave. No more. You're an idiot, enemy. I can't stand you. And my Jesus is setting people free tonight. If you don't know Jesus, let me tell you, you will never have peace in your life until you get to know the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the best friend you will ever meet. I was a drug addict. I was in a coma. I did all kinds of wild and crazy things, and I couldn't get away from the hole in my heart. There was nothing that would fill that place but King Jesus. And I have never had a clearer mind, a happier heart, more peace in my life than I ever thought was possible, because he is the Prince of Peace. So we invite you, if you want to know Jesus and get freedom tonight, come down and we would love to pray with you. Love you, church. Have a good evening.
To